Is there a reason why you chose that line, Stover?
I listened to the whole song like 10 times this morning to try and pick the right one.
That was the right one.
I actually hadn't even heard that part. I usually just keep listening to the first minute over and over again.
No, that was for sure the right one.
Hello, meat men.
Can you come back? Let's go back.
You want to hear that again?
What are exactly the words? I know you know them.
My question is can you say the words while looking into Yoni's eyes?
I do it every week, whether I'm recording or not.
The new studio is going to have dividers so no one can look directly at anyone else.
Melt in your mouth, but not in your hand. I'm a meat man.
He's a meat man.
I swear to you, I was joking at first when that was the best song of all time, Yoni. I think it actually is.
It's great. It's next level for sure.
And this year, at the end of 2017, the thing I think about most... obviously, family, love, friends, like everyone in the studio here. But the thing that's at the top of my list is Punani and how I miss him.
Yeah, gone before we even knew.
Gone too soon, Punani. I think he died like 7-8 years ago, but rest in peace.
Maybe we can help his relatives or whoever's left make a little money off that song.
Cha-ching! Yeah, we got to make money because one day we're going to get sued by Jerry Lee Lewis.
Whatever the lawsuit is, I want our lawyers to write in that we have to have a face-to-face meeting to suss it all out.
Oh, yeah. If he's going to die this year, he has to die on our show.
and that's when we like turn him and he becomes our friend and he's like another meat man.
So I think any meat man that is now on part 4 of our best of Yoni is the realest of all real meat men.
Yeah, you hung in there.
During the holidays, too.
Yeah, well, maybe this is a great way for you to, you know, take a long bathroom break from that family that bothers you and just sit there and listen to us talk about your favorite stuff.
We've already asked our fans to listen to the show while in the bathtub, and now you can just go to the bathroom and listen to it like we do.
Yeah, and, you know, in some of these colder climates, sometimes you got to sit on the seat with your clothes on for like 5 minutes just to warm it up.
It's only appropriate to listen to the Meat Man while you have the meat sweats.
So you hear that voice, Yoni?
Yeah, who's that?
Looking right in front of you. It's Matt from the studio.
What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. I'm hungover.
Yoni didn't see him until he started talking.
He appeared
right in front of us. So Matt, who's usually outside the studio doors working harder than us, is now inside the studio working as hard as us, which is to say he's drinking seltzer water and talking into a microphone.
If he wants to. It's all up to him.
That was great, Matt. And now that we have those new podcast analytics that Apple released, we can see exactly where you all are listening. And I'm sure you all tuned in for that.
Yeah, if you haven't updated your app, update it so we can know every little detail about how you listen.
Rate, review, et cetera, et cetera. We've been yelling at you for 2 weeks to do that. And thanks for doing it. So we are on our last 5 clips, Matt and Yoni. And we got some really good ones coming up.
From the countdown.
The countdown. You want to try that, Matt? It's fun.
Countdown. I'm not that good at it.
Kind of like rolled down a hill on that.
I like having Matt in the studio.
Yeah, we got to change it up.
Usually we only hear him outside. We hear his cowboy boots and spurs, and he's got a whip out there, and he's got cattle.
He has that.
He's a real Texan.
He has that deep, loud laugh.
Yeah, you see that was evil. He's the only real Texan in this studio operation we got going on, so we always consult him for Texas things.
I've been here for 10 years. I can be kind of a Texan.
Oh, let's let the Texas meat men decide that. Everyone go on Yoni's page, at Yoni Levin, and let him know if you think he's a Texan. You can say yes.
Yeah, Yoni's, if you look on my page, you'll know I'm a Texan.
Yoni's definitely a Texan.
It's all meat, motorcycles, boots.
What kind of belt buckle
it's
do you
belt
have,
buckle,
Yoni?
Yeah,
tell everyone about that.
Well, I have the lady got me one with a scorpion and one with a tarantula in it, but they're stuck in resin with some abalone from the Gulf.
Yeah, you're a Texan. I'm not yet. I still got those Cali shoes on, those checkerboard slip-ons.
I know.
Hey, oh, actually, I did wear. Out. Do you guys want to see my Texas shirt I wore for this? Check it out. Come and take it.
Awesome.
I mean, that's the type of shirt that might get you shot.
Here, let me show
Texas.
You what I'm wearing.
Why do you say that? Oh, you're wearing the Ray's barbecue shirt. That must really stink. Why would this get me shot, Matt? It's just the Texas slogan. Just, come and take it.
I'm just saying, don't wear that in Lubbock.
I wouldn't wear that outside of Austin.
What are you looking at, Yoni? Describe it. It's a cannon, right?
Yeah, it's like a cannon, but the kind that's usually attached to a male.
Well, they spelled come wrong. It's only
only three letters.
But this is definitely a cannon because there's the head of the cannon, the shaft of the cannon, and the balls.
It does have cannonballs.
All right, speaking of cannonballs, guess what we're gonna listen to now, Yoni?
Punani.
my transitions have been killing it lately in these best. We get loopy when we record on the weekends. I am giddy AF.
Giddy AF.
I saw a movie at 9 a.m. today. It's wild style.
Wild style. All right, let's get barbecue AF and listen to our first clip, which is where me and Yoni did an all day smoke at his house.
Yes. Well, now, I did an all day smoke and you came for most of it.
Listen, what time did I get up, Matt? Do you remember?
Oh, like, I don't know. Like 2 a.m., 3 a.m.
Fair enough.
How does Matt know what time you got up?
Because I think I was over here doing something. Stover was over late. He left. I remember you leaving.
Did you sleep here and then come to my house?
No, I got 3 hours of sleep that night. I got my big butt up there, sat by the fire. Plus, the fire did all the cooking, not Yoni.
Hey, I gently stoked it into the right shape.
But it was a fun day. And then I set up, unbeknownst to Yoni, who'd cracked a few beers. A little recording studio in his room, so we sat down and did a show from his house during a party.
Yeah, that was fun.
This is one of the most requested best of clips we've gotten from fans, Yoni, because I think people liked hearing you drunk.
Let's go.
So that's
send
why.
Send me beer. You can hear me drunk as much as you want.
That's why this clip is near the end of the episode. Beers deep. Let's have a listen. Little flashback on the
play the damn clip.
Go on a stroll for the show.
I mean, we could talk about the neighborhood.
Okay, let's walk up the street and talk about barbecue. Do you think the smoke bothers people that live around here?
I think the smoke from Terry Black's does, but I think they don't even notice that I'm burning a fire.
We are
probably a third as large right in my front yard.
Yoni is he's sort of walking like Frankenstein, and we're connected by cords.
Yeah, we are connected.
He's holding a Yeti koozie.
I've got a Shandy and a Yeti koozie. I've got a wireless thermometer we're testing the limits for right now.
We are walking in the middle of the street in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Don't worry, there's no cars. We're being safe.
Bolden Creek Hood.
And Yoni lives near Post Oak Street,
yes.
Which is perfect. All right, let's turn around now.
Okay, yeah.
That was a good nice stroll.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm staying on the shady side of the street.
The reason why I want to keep moving is because if I sit down, I'm afraid I'll pass out again.
I'm about there.
Oh, let me point out, I'm not even drunk. I'm just so tired, I couldn't even keep my eyes open.
Well, I mean, I went to bed at like 9:30, read a book, and...
I went to bed at 12:30 a.m. and got up at 2-ish.
Yeah, you're crazy. I think I got a whole 5 hours of sleep.
Yeah. So I'm loopy from lack of sleep, and you've been having fun all day. You've been really enjoying it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've been...
Hey, let's go in through the front door and... Do you know what that's the sound, once again, Meat Men, that you'll hear when we come back from a clip? So you don't get confused with our inception. That was code word, you getting loopy, for me telling you you were drunk.
Yeah. I mean, when we put on something like this, I'm going to expect you to throw a microphone in my face the moment you think I'm interesting.
So it was actually funny. I haven't told Yoni this story. I was saving it for when it came up again. At the end of the party, when Yoni was all zonked out and tired, again, remember, long cook, you know, all the meat men out there know what it's like. Yoni was on the couch singing a Christmas song, but this was months ago. He was going like this. All I want for Christmas is a big booty hoe. A big booty hoe.
No.
Wasn't that? That's when Yoni was singing to himself.
I was singing that song. All I want for my birthday is a big booty hoe.
No, you were singing Christmas, I thought. Well, anyway, that's what in my mind. So anyway. Yeah, Yoni was loopy. I was correct. As the people here in your house.
Totally. I'm into it. There's
Let's do
huge
it.
Huge butterfly.
Burst in and
oh gosh.
What just happened? What? I tripped up Yoni's stairs.
Got the door?
Yeah.
Watch out, it slams.
It's gonna slam on my butt. Are we locked out of your own house?
I'm locked out of my own house. Oh, there's a beautiful woman who wants to let us in.
Is that your mom?
A beautiful woman. A beautiful woman let us in.
We were just recording out in the street, but now it feels much better inside
Yoni's
nice. Place.
There's air conditioning.
There's music. There's people.
Oh, shit.
Yoni's holding his microphone up to his girlfriend.
I'm forcing people to talk into the microphone.
People are tired. It's been a long day. How's it going? He's not feeling good. He's dripping sweat. Me too. I think you poisoned everyone with the meat, Yoni.
None of the meat's even done yet.
This is my girlfriend, Cassidy.
Yeah, there you go. Get her.
What do I smell like? Waving her hand no. She's waving her hand no.
You smell smoky.
Yeah. Does it smell good?
Yoni's head. Get out of
it. Does it smell good?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, you always smell good.
Yeah, even when I smell smoke.
Oh, always smells good.
That's not true.
That's a beautiful compliment. No,
I actually stink right now, but that's nice of her to say.
She has beautiful compliments.
All right, so we've done a huge lap. I'm covered in sweat. Let's head back to our little bedroom studio.
You
want
to go to the studio?
No, actually, let's circle back. I want to look at my pork ribs and see how they're doing.
I'm sure they're just
well,
right.
Well, I think I might mop them, and then you'll just hold the microphone, and I kind of want to get some of that slather on there. You know?
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, we had a little bit of trouble with the fire. It dropped quite a bit a couple times there, right?
Yeah, I mean, each piece of wood's unique, and you never know.
Here, Yoni.
One might pull it up, one might pull it down.
Will you hold this microphone? Just go ahead and aim this one for sound effects and then talk into that one.
Yeah, I got it.
I'm going to set this behind you. All right, let's see what we're looking at here. What are we looking at?
Stover's opening. The smoker to some beautifully
good, right?
they're kind of, some of them are red, some of them are orange, some of them are black. They're it's a full range of color.
Well, you know, I'm all about the spectrum.
You can hear it. You can hear that slather. Get even more sauce on there, like really mop it on there.
Put it up there and I want to hear this slopping around.
There you go. Now I can hear it. Really mop the shit out of them. You're really mopping the shit out of those ribs.
I can only imagine that sound effect sounds disgusting.
Listen, let's get this fucking podcast started.
Wait, put it up there.
Oh, trust me, we got that.
Okay. I think the microphone's going to smell like smoke for weeks
now. I think if you wanted to cover the dirty, filthy mopping sound, you've got it. Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've already got 700 minutes of...
It's getting hot. Yoni was dying during that one. I don't think he remembers that day.
I remember. I remember waiting for you to open the smoker. I know that door's heavy. Took a second. I love that sound. I do it. I will just like stick my head in the smoker as I'm walking out to the yard all the time. It just smells good.
Thank you. That was really fun. We're going to be doing that again. It's freezing right now, so maybe January when it's nice and hot again in Texas.
Yeah, it's still like 40 degrees. We really got that cold front hard.
I know. I said we probably get a lot of angry listens when we complain about the weather here, when some of our listeners, I've seen them like cooking in snow.
Hey, Austin's still growing. There's lots of room. Come eat some barbecue. It's hot here.
Yeah. There's always an open invitation for Meat Men to come hang out with us. I mean, we've met up with a bunch of people. That's how Matt Horn ended up on the show. That's how Andrew from Moose ended up on the show.
Yeah. It's not hard to find us. Moose Barbecue.
Today!
There you go.
The theme song for Moose Barbecue that we debuted when they were in the studio. Now, Moose appeared on a previous Best Of clip you heard. This is another episode that featured Moose, Yoni, for our next clip on the countdown.
Oh, this is when you were in Cali.
This is when I was in Cali. But we actually talked to Andrew and his wife, Michelle, both make up Moose. And Trudy's on the phone when we got back. And then we listened to some clips from that boozy pop-up I went to. I got a chance to drink a little on the job.
Yeah, you had a... You were keeping it at 11.
Keeping it 11? These go to 11.
Yeah, exactly.
Do it, Matt. Do your impression. This is Matt's best impression.
But these go to 11.
Yes! Congratulations. The Oscar goes to Matt. All right. So here, Yoni, is part of where I'm talking to the crowd at that pop-up. Again, a few beers deep, hanging out with an old friend.
Well, you were trying to get them to make moo sounds, right?
That was other people. That was people.
Oh, that isn't this one?
I get pretty much everyone these days to make moo sounds, Yoni.
Now, there was a dog, I remember.
Yeah. I tried to talk to a dog, a real meat man dog.
And this is when they were all working pretty hard. I mean, they'd already been working for 10 or 12 hours by then, right?
Oh, like it seemed like days.
Yeah.
I mean, they were zonked by the end. So.
A long day in Cali was over.
Well, they were busting their butts, all those real L.A. meat men. I was out in line causing trouble. So let's take a listen.
Hit it.
Line.
How weird do you want to get? Do you want to ask them weird questions? Do you want to stand next to me while I talk to them?
Not really, but...
Okay, do you want to watch me awkwardly?
Yeah, let's do
that. Can I hold this really weird?
Sure. Do you want me to hold the mic while you do it?
No, I
You gonna do it?
I got it. Can I interrupt you guys real quick? You're last in line. I have a barbecue podcast working with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
What brought you here, and why are you willing to wait forever for food?
I received a text message from a friend with a screenshot of the Facebook event that was just like meaty, juicy, just brisket and beer. And I've been to this place before, McLeod's, love this place. And I said, I'll be there in 10 minutes.
Yeah, and you love
that
meat.
Simple. Oh, yeah.
Why meat. Do you love meat?
Because it's delicious in every way. It satisfies all of the umami, the...
Umami?
Umami,
this
yeah.
dude's a creep. He said his mommy. He thinks about his mommy when he eats the brisket.
It's sweet, savory. It's everything. It's delicious.
He's still talking about his mommy.
Yeah, my mom's awesome.
Well, every mom...
Yeah. He had to say his mom was awesome in case she's a meat man and listening.
Well, I feel like you did a good job there because that's some guy who's just, he's just rambling and you're like, nope, shut you down. You can't take my mic.
So Matt, Matt was kind of the progenitor of this media company that we got going here. And I don't know if he ever envisioned that 6 months later, he'd have one of the people working in the studio off in LA talking to people about their mommies and...
Stover, you're one of the people I sought out for this.
That's why.
I mean, I expected worse.
Huh. I know how to rein myself in.
The story from our progenitor.
Well, you haven't heard
instigator.
You haven't heard the next clip yet, where I also embarrass myself. So stay tuned and keep listening to this next one. This is actually where we discuss my visit with Bert from Trudy's Underground Barbecue on the phone.
Nice.
He's all hungover because he was at a concert the night before. He said he was calling from the bath.
That guy lives a life that some can't imagine.
If you listen to the Best Barbecue Show, you can imagine.
Yeah, so, you can learn all about it.
Check the archives. All right. So here's a portion of our next episode. This is episode 19. Let's call it number 762 on the countdown, Yoni.
Perfect. Okay. That's the number I was thinking of. You read my mind.
An advice is to just work on it, you know? Start with one brisket, start with two briskets, start eating whatever equipment you have. And it's, you know, for the slinging, like you saw, you know, people ask me, they message me and they ask, and you know, how much is this, how much is that? And it's funny, like, you know, I always tell them it's not that it's free, you know, it's not that it's free, but there's no charge. I'm not charging it. I'm not selling it. I'm looking to, I don't want to get, you know, any kind of, into any kind of trouble. So I don't necessarily sell it, but, you know, there is an expense, you know, when you go and cook 10, 15, 20 briskets, there's definitely an expense. So the people who come by, they support and they contribute, they chip in to help cover the cost, and to, you know, support this process, this movement, this thing that's been happening. And yeah, you know, I see these places popping up, in LA. I hear about them popping up outside of LA, and I think it's great. I think it's great. And look, you know, I'm involved with a restaurant, with some buddies of mine, and that place, that brick and mortar place, was supposed to be open in November of 2016. We are now approaching November 2017, and we still think it's going to be several months.
Yeah.
So, you know, for somebody who wants to go and start a place, you know, the city and all these regulations make it difficult. And otherwise, you know, you can go pick up some product, go to your backyard and start cooking and have
some. Yoni, does it seem like the man is always trying to get in the way of barbecue?
I would say that's where barbecue started, was, you know, someone simply just wanting to burn a fire and cook some meat. It's not the best cut. It's the cut that used to be for the poor, for the one discarded by the fancy people. And so it's kind of become the new steak, but it's cooked slow and relatively cheap per pound, and it's hard work.
there's no question these days that I would much rather go to a barbecue place than a steakhouse, and it was always the other way around. Like, well, what about you, Matt? Is it steak? What's the kind of meat that still drives you to get out?
Pork ribs.
Pork ribs.
I've loved pork ribs for my entire life. Someone handed me one of those when I was like 3, and I just never stopped.
You were 3?
Yeah.
It's probably bigger than you.
I was a big kid, but I also had poor eye-hand coordination, so I'm sure I dropped it like all over myself. Like, I don't know.
Well, and you're from Texas, so you ate a legit slow-smoked pork rib.
Yeah, it was...
That's something I didn't even know existed till you know, I was here.
Matt's an aficionado, but I know that he's got skills deep down in him being a Texan. Like, we got to get him on the grill one of these days.
Yeah, we got to do a smoke. But I think that there's a... I mean, Bert's more of a visionary of everything. He wants everyone to just do it, to just get a smoker, to just get set up. He sees the potential. He sees the growth. But a lot of people here in Texas, they just do it because they love it. But it's crazy how it's becoming the new thing, the new steak or sushi or whatever you want to call it.
And it's so fascinating to hear stories like Bert, and then you got Matt Horn in Northern California, and people all over. You got the Backyard Barbecue Crew in the Northwest. They're doing just pop-ups and cooking from their backyard and then giving people food. Like, they're real meat men. They show up and they just hand you meat.
It's like the new prohibition, except instead of the law actually prohibiting it, it's just they don't want to take the time to create a restaurant, so they just pull a smoker up wherever and do it.
Yeah. I mean, we're constantly drunk on meat, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I asked the lady if she wanted to stop and get barbecue to bring here, and she's like, I'm a little over barbecue. Like,
that's the funny thing, because anyone in our periphery, Matt included, gets barbecue hand-me-downs constantly. Like, we're always chilling barbecue to people because we get way more than we can eat.
And not only that, but I'm repurposing it into 10 other meals throughout the week, because I have...
Name one of those meals. What's the first one that pops
in your
head?
Tons of stock.
All right, add
tons
that.
Of stock.
All right, all the meat men are counting the number of times Yoni says stock on this show, so add that. Add a check mark.
I'm going to have a stock recipe tutorial.
Ding, ding, ding.
Dude, brisket and eggs, like leftover brisket and eggs are probably my favorite breakfast.
That's right. All right, let's head back to Bert, Mr. Cook himself. Now, he just doesn't do barbecue. He does everything. He has that giant 750-gallon smoker, and on the back, he's got that griddle, and so he can just cook lunch while he's making dinner. It's the greatest thing ever, so here we are.
Friends come over and they'll encourage you, they'll support you, they'll tell their friends will tell other friends, and organic.
Yeah, and it's so cool to see it happen in person, because you just had some friends stop by while you were back there, and I'm pretty sure they were led there by their nose. They were just going home, and all of a sudden they were like, ooh, Bert's cooking, I'm gonna go eat some of his food.
All the time that happens. My neighbors, like, you know, I'll get a text. They're like, "Ooh, save me a rack." You know, they can smell that I'm cooking. And you know, that's usually on Fridays, and that's one of my favorite things. You know, that people just come by, we hang out. If somebody brings a bottle of wine, somebody brings their, you know, their doctor's prescribed medicinal, you know, ganja that the doctor's prescribing. Not that they
medicinal
want
ganja.
But, you know, the doctor's orders.
You have to
doctor's
take
orders, right.
And
it's a doctor's orders.
Yeah, the doctor's orders. Like, dude, you think I want to smoke 10 joints? Doctor says I can't fall asleep. I got to. I know it's 2 p.m., but whatever.
Yeah, I almost fell asleep at your house.
Exactly. If, you know, they come, they hang out, we cook, we whatever, it's Friday. I mean, seriously, Friday, it's Friday, it's the end, you know, it's late afternoon, it's nice weather, you have some people you know, some people you don't know, hang out, have a drink, you know, have some food, you know, what's better than that?
Well, we're here in Austin, Texas, where you can, I mean, driving around town, you're going to smell barbecue. There's a place a mile from here, there's a place a mile after that, there's a little trailer. But you're creating an unbelievable, you know, aroma in the middle of like a desert of that kind of stuff. So I'm sure all your neighbors go nuts, and they're happy to bring everything to the party. You're a man of process. You're a man who's challenging himself and challenging his skills. It's like the epic story. So what's next? Where should we find you? How does the world connect with, you know, your movement?
Well, what's next? What's next is just really the brick and the mortar. What's next is, you know, going above ground. You know, what's next is the ability to actually charge, you know, legally and actually have an actual charge. What's next is really all kinds of events. I'm been playing with tacos. You know, you would think that, like, why am I playing with tacos? Like, I have no business really playing with barbecue either, so why can't I play with tacos? You
exactly.
know? But,
you should name the brick and mortar Trudy's Above Ground.
Yeah, Trudy's Above Ground Barbecue and Tacos.
Trudy. Ah, the lazy people of L.A., that's too long for them.
It is. You got to shorten it somehow. I just put on a hairnet, by the way, Bert. I had a hairnet in my pocket. I just put it on, and I'm staring at Yoni in this hairnet, and he's really weirded out right now.
Yeah, looking like a gangster.
Yeah, always. You know it.
I can't imagine how much Stover was bugging and messing with you guys the whole time he was there.
I misspoke when one of Bert's friends or someone came to eat some of his food and take off real quick. I misspoke and said the word semen accidentally. And Bert almost fell out of his chair.
She's the publicist. She was, at the time, at least, because she's a whiz, but she was the publicist for Ellen DeGeneres. So Ellen DeGeneres' publicist came by my place to pick up some containers of caviar, which is a whole other story. So she comes to pick up some caviar. And then, and Silver says to her, like, yeah, caviar is code word for semen. She's like, what'd you say? What was that? And another guy who was there was like this executive from CBS. I was like, wait, what's going on? What are you just saying?
So that's how I roll, Bert. You know, I make an impression, I guess.
And the other thing, I'll tell you what, they won't forget, because if I tell them, like, hey, you remember when you guys came over? I'll mention, let's say, Andrew, my buddy Andrew that was there. They know. I'm like, what about the guy who said semen? Like, oh, yeah, of course. How's he doing?
Yeah, how could you forget?
It's how you get places in Hollywood, right?
Yeah, I'm a connector, I guess. All right, Bert. Well, we appreciate it. I still have flashbacks to that, Yoni. I have no idea what was coming out of my mouth, but then semen came out.
That was a solid move on your part.
You know what,
sure.
I grew up around fish hatcheries, and we used to make jokes as kids about how that, like, gross stuff that they would make was just like semen. So we equated fish eggs with semen, so I used to always make jokes about that. But because we were on his prescription medicine, his ganja, his doctor prescribed ganja.
Yeah.
You know, I sort of let it let it go.
Loosen up those inhibitions.
Well, maybe I'll get on the Ellen show soon, it sounds like.
It sounds like.
What do you think, Matt? Best barbecue on the Ellen show? Would that be good?
That's risky for all parties.
It is risky, but it's going to happen. Early 2018, Yoni, we'll do that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of how she'll mess with us.
But that LA trip was great, and we promised them, and I think we have to hold true to this, that all of us, all of Glencliff Media, will take a trip down there.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be great.
When was the last time you were in LA?
In LA?
Yeah.
3 years ago.
And you didn't have any barbecue.
No, we went up to Portland and had some barbecue, but while I was in LA, I ate a lot of pho. The weather was pretty rough, and it was eating my nasal passages, so I had pho pretty much every morning I was there.
Well, LA has never been, you know, known necessarily for its barbecue, but now you just have to try it when you're there because they're doing just amazing things.
Well, LA is known for what's cool, and what's cool right now is slow-smoked Texas-style barbecue.
Cool as ice.
It's where it's at.
So for the next clip, we're actually going back to LA, not taking a long one on this one, to talk about one of our best friends.
Ray
Ramirez.
Ray, the man with the Tesla and more live Instagram than I've ever seen.
Yeah, and he co-opted our Meat Man hashtag, Matt. And now he pops up in the rankings way before we do, but you know.
Yeah, he can steal all our hashtags. He's killing it. He has put up at least a dozen posts just reminding people that he's got 2 days left, 3 days left, 1 day left to come get his barbecue. And he's even talking smack about people who I guess, are reheating their barbecue. We need to get the story from him on that. He's like, don't eat reheated barbecue, which I guess maybe that's something in LA.
Ray said that he's just going to buy his first house in Austin because he's here so much lately. I swear we saw him like a dozen times this year, it felt like.
Yeah, he was here every weekend.
Every weekend. Ray just drove up in his Tesla, let it do the driving for him.
Yeah, we even, he did a quick 24-hour flight where he flew in, flew out for the Texas Monthly Fest.
What's great about Ray is that he is one of those super meat men, and there's tons of you out there, and we love you, and you know your names. But Ray was one of the first. I mean, he just took to the show.
Well, and he named a burrito after us.
He did. I was just going to mention that. The official meat man burrito at Ray's in LA. Go check it out.
Yeah, he's doing what I think is the 100% California fusion, which is a burrito made of Texas barbecue.
Yeah, yeah. It used to be called unofficially by one person, Andrew from Moose, the stoner burrito. But
I mean, I bet it helps you finish it because that thing probably weighs 2 pounds.
Yeah, yeah. And it's full of like every meat that he has.
I mean, that's a...
I still feel it down here in my stomach.
That's a $20 platter anywhere in Austin.
Worth every penny.
Every penny.
Yoni, that's the shirt that Yoni actually is wearing, the Ray's Barbecue shirt, which, if you stay tuned to the end of the episode, one of you can win.
Yeah, we're giving away Ray's shirts.
How it's going to work this time is you have to let us know on Instagram, at Best Barbecue, that you heard your name mentioned, and then we'll send you a shirt. But we want to hear from you, and you have 1 week to do it.
And that's at the end of this episode?
At the end of this episode, we're going to give away a Ray's shirt and some stickers.
Uh-oh, better pay attention.
Yeah. All right, so let's listen to a little bit of where I sat down in the back next to the coolers at Ray's place, right before the health inspector came in, Matt. I quickly took all the podcast stuff down just in case. I didn't want to get in the way.
You know what? Having been in business, I actually am okay with the health inspectors just showing up and doing their job because right. I've been a part of situations where the inspectors just don't show.
Right.
So it's definitely a problem to have, but in the scheme of problems, it's okay.
That guy did his due diligence and they passed with flying colors.
Of course. You have to. In California, they put your health code rating on the front windows.
Yeah.
So if you don't have an A, you're going to lose business.
Here's Ray, the A-plus meat man. Tell me about the moment you learned that you would be a barbecue guy.
When I got featured on the Houston Chronicle, that's when I knew this was going to be a career for the rest of my life. When J.C. Reed decided to name us his best barbecue, that was my changing light. Because up to that moment, it was more, we have a business, but is it going to take off? We're not sure. But that moment, we saw those two articles back to back on a Sunday Chronicle. It was Houston. That's when I knew, this is going to be a life-changing experience, because now I know exactly what I want to do in life, and it's be a pitmaster.
Yeah, and it's not like you have been in the restaurant industry forever before that and you decided to go to barbecue. I mean, you saw such a love in that type of barbecue that you went into the food game because of it, right?
Yeah, I think as I tell some of my customers, I think in my past life I had something to do with barbecue because, come on, I'm Salvadorian. I mean, what do we know about barbecue? We know about pupusas. Our barbecue is carne asada, just like in Mexico. But somehow, it comes not naturally because you have to learn it, but it comes naturally once you learn it, with your eyes closed.
You have an interesting start to your story because, from what I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong or fill in the details, but you were being hit by the city because you were selling barbecue outside of a restaurant, like a lot of people do, yet you turned it around and ended up getting a development grant in order to open up this current location. Is that correct?
Yes.
A little clarification there, Yoni. He sold food outside his house. I don't know why I said restaurant.
Well, he was turning his house into a restaurant.
It's been bugging me since that aired. I was like, every time I've heard that, I'm like,
blame your doctor.
Yeah, it's my journalism background. I hate to get things wrong. But we know that if we get something wrong, the smoke and hoe will let us know.
Yeah, exactly. There's always someone to keep you in check.
We love that hoe.
Back in 2014, I was unemployed. I was on my last unemployment check. And I decided to invest it in a couple pounds of pulled pork, and I put an ad on Facebook on those community pages. People started showing up. Within 7 weekends, I got snitched on. Then that's when I decided, 7 weekends, let's open up a restaurant by myself. No investors, no nothing. Just by myself with my wife. My mom lent me $20,000 plus what I had, make it another $35,000. And we opened up a restaurant, and then we came up with another $10,000 after that. But in reality, I did the math. Only about 12 weekends is what it took to open this place. I jumped on the gun. I rolled the web. Whatever I didn't know how to do, thank you, YouTube, for showing us.
And all those books that you've picked up, Franklin's book.
Yes, Franklin's book came a year and a half later. But if it wasn't for that, plus his videos and all the other videos from, you know, Rob Green and, you know, Stephen Reichland from the PBS, you know, and all those books. It was one of those things that all that put together gets you started, but it doesn't get you nowhere. It just gets you started. You know, that doesn't mean you're going to be a brisket professional just by reading that. No, it takes hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of briskets burned. And you know, let's say not all of them burnt, but you get the idea, burnt and need some more cooking, and this needs more pepper, and this needs more salt. No, the books are just a good guideline. Read them if you're going to do it. I suggest you, if you want to do it, do it. Don't wait on it. Just go out there. Don't even think about it.
First stop when we get into L.A., Yoni, Ray's, right? On my way to downtown L.A., when I was leaving Ray's, I drove through Skid Row.
Smart.
Oh, man. It's rough.
I think that's why it's called Skid Row.
Yeah. So what we want the Meat Men to do is rate and review the podcast so we don't end up on Skid Row.
Yeah. Keep us off the streets, guys.
Keep the Meat Men off the streets. You don't know what we're capable of. So back to Texas for our number two clip, Yoni. We're getting close.
Yeah, we're almost done.
Yeah. It is the Pitmaster Roundtable.
Oh, I love this part.
The most listened to episode in the history of Best Barbecue. Thank you.
Winner, winner.
Chicken. No, brisket dinner.
Brisket dinner.
Yeah, brisket dinner. So who was in the studio for our very first roundtable, Yoni?
We had Clay Cowgill from Snow's, Dylan Taylor from Truth Barbecue, formerly La Barbecue, and then from La Barbecue, we had Brendan Lamb, the barbecue hunk himself.
Javier's got wood. That's his new catchphrase, Javier's got wood.
Even though he's never said it, he actually said, my natural ambiance.
Well, a lot of famous catchphrases were never actually uttered. Yeah. Star Wars, for instance.
There's a bunch of those.
I just can't wait till we get rid of all these Star Wars. So the Pitmaster Roundtable was a blast. We brought those dudes in here. We filled up the sink in the studio with a bunch of beer.
Tons of beer. Local beer. Great beer. Hops and Grain was featured heavily.
So the beer floweth. There was a dog running around the studio. It was crowded. All sorts of hijinks ensued.
The dog shut off the board for a second.
Yeah. Me and Cassidy's little dog stepped on the power strip and shut off the microphones halfway through the episode.
We're going to relocate that for next time.
We got to dog-proof the studio. So this is sort of in the middle of our talk, and it includes one of the most favorite moments of this year, where we listen to a clip of hogs exploding.
Tannerite,
baby. So let's listen to that. Cover your ears when it happens. It gets loud.
Staff.
Yeah.
Would you kill a cow, slaughter one with a sword, Brendan?
Ooh.
Oh, important. Yes. Yeah.
That sounds a little inhumane to me.
Yeah, real quick. As long as it's real fast.
No. Really warrior's accurate. Death.
Yeah.
Have you seen the people hunting pigs with spears?
Yeah, man. They jump out of trees and stuff. And
well, there's like the drop spear, and then there's the throwing one. And my old brother-in-law used to try and practice and throw it, and he never got anything. But I said, maybe get up in a tree and drop one. Yeah. It looks a little easier. But
I would like to do a throwing axe. That would be really cool. Yeah. I do. My mom and stepmom, Brooke, they live out in Milano, Texas, and we are overran with hogs out there. So most weekends I go out there and do pretty good.
Big deer out there too.
There's a lot of good deer out there, but the deer are smart. They've been coming out at nighttime, and you can't hunt them at nighttime.
Those guys are scary though, right? Like those pigs are big. Those guys, if they get you, they'll
look on my Instagram. There's like a 315-pound one I shot a few weeks back.
That's bigger than us.
Yeah, it's a, yeah. It was a big one. I had to use a winch to get him up.
On the way out to Snow's, when I drive or ride my motorcycle, I'm always watching because you'll just see one on the side of the road. I'm like, that's as big as me.
Yeah.
You need to drive slow, too.
I go slow.
Yeah. Okay. Even if it's like a car and you hit a hog, it'll flip your car.
It'll flip your car. Yeah.
The low center of gravity.
And the crazy thing is when you see them, they're all bloated. So it's like they're even bigger and swollen than they normally
look. It's like a blowfish.
They're always bloated.
It's a crazy thing that, like, I've never thought I'd live in a place where pigs were.
It's a problem. You get paid to take them off land and stuff. Yeah. So it's really crazy. I think there's like a population of like 2 million on the outs. That's just a number that I probably just made up. it's a pretty substantial number that of how they've overtaken Central Texas.
Do you ever take them to the market?
No, most of the ones we get have been poisoned. So you cut them open and they've got like a red dye or a purple dye inside of them. So you know that they've been poisoned. So you don't eat them. But every now and then you'll get one that hasn't been. Well, you know, cut them up.
Cool.
People just full on poison them?
Yeah, that's how big of a problem they are in that area. People just.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And nobody really is all about, you know, the tannerite or doing all that other stuff. But I feel like that's the poison thing. I know. I see your face. For sure.
Love me some tannerite.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. What is that?
It's
an implosive.
Implosive. There you go.
What?
They use it for targets. That's what the main purpose is. You put it on a target real far away or whenever, and then you shoot it and it blows up.
But you put ninja stars all around it.
Yeah.
Sounds like a fun time.
But people, they hunt hogs with it. They'll get like a 2-pound block of it and put corn all around it and wait for the hogs to get there, shoot it, and it blows up. And
yeah, if you haven't seen that, look it up. I think there's one where a guy makes a 27-pounder.
Yeah.
And all the hogs are around it. He shoots it, and there are literally pig parts like 100 feet away from this guy.
Can you eat that? No.
You're just trying to get rid of them. But even when you're not using it for hogs, it's so much fun because you shoot this tannerite. And then you literally laugh for 10 minutes. Like it's funny every single time.
I think Stover's pulling it up. We can watch it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is a video called Hog Explosion.
Make it full screen. Let's see it.
So it's called What Happens When You Put 2 pounds of Tannerite Under a 100-pound hog. Oh, wait. 9 50-pound hogs and a coyote. Let's take a look.
A coyote. How'd the coyote get into the mix?
Yeah, what is he doing with those hogs?
Collateral damage.
They're all friends, you know? It's like Disney.
Oh, yeah. This is good.
Okay, we're seeing a field right now. Oh my god!
I missed it.
It's so slow-mo or something.
There's a better one that's like, it's red dirt. I think it's like North Texas area.
Yes, and that's the one I'm talking about. Man.
There's one that's like, there's a hog, like it's been shot before, you can tell because it's all limp.
Well, that was a scary noise. Does this happen a lot? Blowing up hogs with this thing?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
I've even seen
one where a guy, he's got a little island on a pond, and then he fills gasoline on the island.
Yeah.
I mean, this is dangerous. And it blows it up, and it makes like a mushroom cloud. It's so big.
Can you guys see this? It's a serene field with a bunch of animals.
Yeah, it's just a nice field.
This is it.
You'll see a little one coming in. It looks like it has three legs or limping or something.
This is the best one.
Yeah.
I'm scared.
The top left of the screen after the explosion is where you're doing.
I like how he's just whispering, I'm going to get these off.
Watch this,
dude. Damn, now it's coming. Check this out, y'all.
I'm going to give you a countdown.
Oh, God! Did you see the left of the screen?
Yeah. No, take it back. Take it back.
Holy shit!
The top left, like where the logo is for the Live Leak.
Shout out.
Damn. At least it was quick.
Holy shit.
God, you know, I got a text from Andrew, if I remember right, from Moose. And he said, I've been looking up Tannerite videos all day after that show aired.
Yeah, that shit's crazy. It's strange all the things that you've never even heard of that a bunch of guys sitting in a room can find.
Well, you put a bunch of pitmasters in a room, you're going to find creative ways to kill an animal.
Well, the funny thing about this story is it plays out in a number of different geographies.
Blowing up hogs?
I have friends from Perth, which is in Western Australia, and for all purposes, that is like the Texas of Australia.
right.
And they have this problem with camels, but the camels are like larger animals. So they have to actually take helicopters out. And they'll like put assault rifles up on the helicopters, and there's they'll go call the camels that way.
Wait,
oh
there's
my God.
Yeah. Camels are overrunning Perth?
Yeah, they have like I think they have a million feral camels in Western Australia.
Get oh wow.
Like a million. Yeah, like they'll run through like herds will run through houses.
Here's
what?
A, yes.
Here's a video on YouTube camel hunting in Australia, in Western Australia. He's drinking a beer on the back of a flatbed truck and they're in sort of like desert land and he's got his feet up and his buddy's got a gun. They're driving around the outback.
Yeah. Oh, and he stopped.
All right, they're lining up. Oh!
Whoa.
That's not a small gun. Can you eat camel?
I wouldn't. They smell terrible. Have you ever been around a camel before?
Yeah,
I went
on
a camel
actually.
Ride and my pants took like two washes to clean.
Yeah, I guess it's a problem. But we all think.
So yeah, like hogs are a problem in Texas. Camels are a problem in Western Australia.
Oh my God, these guys are just running after camels and shooting.
I mean,
it's not a very like. I guess they could be aggressive, but it's not like they have teeth or claws or anything.
Can you fight camels? Like have camel fights?
Think you typically want to fight a camel with a gun.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to just roll up and punch
it? Yeah, like, I'm not rolling up to a camel fight without a big gun.
So that was a blast having those guys in. And it was such fun that me and Yoni sat down and decided that we were going to try and do those up once a month.
Yeah, we're going to get some really fun people in here. We're going to talk about where they started and also what they're doing. And you're going to get to hear some cool juxtapositions. I don't want to say anyone specific yet, but they'll be pit masters, they'll be owners, they'll be important people in the barbecue family.
Yeah, and we're going to mash them all together and then see what happens.
Yeah, we're going to try not to throw too many curveballs, but enough that it, you know, we'll keep it interesting for you.
Well, yeah, I mean, we'll probably like go to the bathroom and time ourselves.
Listen, I'm going to be hustling every day just trying to get these people in a room to entertain you meat men and meat women out there. It's all about you.
Well, we have a luxury living in Austin. I mean, Greg from the Barbecue Central show was saying that about our show recently.
Honestly, we're in the center of it. There's been dozens of places open since I moved here 10 years ago.
Yeah, more every day. It's so much that we've expanded by 3 times in the last 6 months.
Not only that, but new guys are winning all kinds of awards all the time. So it's not like there's copycats. There's Evan Leroy doing something different. There's people putting their own twist on everything. There's a lot to cover for 2018.
It's a good segue that you're mentioning the barbecue family there, Yoni, because our final clip and the one we chose for number one is Wayne Miller from Louis Miller.
Possibly one of the few origin stories of family barbecue.
That's right. We picked that because our conversation with Wayne was long, historical, and just full of passion.
And we didn't even publish half of it. We talked to him for over an hour.
Yeah, we have so much tape of Wayne. And I think I might just do another cut of that and release that sometime this year, too.
Special Wayne Miller episode.
Special Wayne. Hopefully we can get him in the studio here, too. But he is a great ambassador of barbecue, which is why we picked him for the final clip here. And because he's talking about literal barbecue family, which when it comes down to it, every one of these stories throughout our entire podcast so far has come down to the barbecue family and the connections.
Yeah, and there's more people connected to him than probably most people in barbecue.
And the whole reason that we're even be able to go into 2018 and continue this podcast is because of you out there, the broader barbecue family, whether we've met in person or not.
We wouldn't be talking if you weren't listening.
I know. It'd be crazy, right? We'd be madmen.
Now that we know you want to hear something, we've got Wayne Miller, and we're going to talk to everyone that he's touched from Brooklyn to Tokyo.
So let's reach out and touch Wayne here for our final clip on the countdown.
Countdown.
Best. Do your Arnold for as I go into this.
The best of the best.
I loved it. There's no continuity there. What Texas barbecue offers is a continuity of cut, general flavor, and texture profile that is just different than the pork world. The pork world, I think, is much more fragmented, much more splintered. This is a much more core product that's being exported everywhere. And it's the core products, where here it's, you know, according to Daniel Vaughn, it's brisket, it's sausage, and it's spare ribs. For us, the longest standing items would be beef ribs, sausage, and brisket. And that would be our top three. But you move outside of this zone, sausage doesn't really even play a part. It's brisket and beef ribs and spare ribs. That is the new sort of Texas triad when you go outside of Texas and into other areas. Beef rib has become that thing, and that thing started right here. And to know that you had that kind of impact and influence I think it would do my forefathers proud to know that, you know, we've made a mark, and that what they, you know, helped to instill and continue on and didn't veer from, their dedication to that and to that process and to keeping it pristine, there's valor there.
But Wayne wasn't just looking at the past. He also has an eye on the future. He wants Louis Miller to stick around so people can keep trying it.
Yeah, he's been keeping him going, and I'd probably cry if I couldn't get that beef rib again. I'm happy they're sticking around.
We're fortunate to have made it as long as we have, and then with any good luck, we'll continue for long past, you know, my demise. I have a daughter. She has no desire to do this, but maybe her kids will. When you start at 8 years old, and this is what you do after school and on weekends, your ambitions are not to continue this on for longer periods of time. It wasn't in my cards. I couldn't wait to get out. So the fact that I came back after saying I never would shows that I don't know much.
I mean, you go there, you know that they know what they're doing. I mean, you can taste it in every bite.
Well, and just talking to him for a while, you can hear he knows the history, he knows the future, he knows everything that's happening, and people are constantly talking to him, and he travels all over the world just preaching and cooking barbecue.
One thing I wish is that our barbecue podcast was around when his dad was around, because he would have been great to talk to. What a great fountainhead of wisdom, I'm sure.
And I would love to go back and just hear more stories about Bobby.
Here's Wayne on his dad and his special relationship with him, one that grew in the final year of his dad's life, because Wayne came back to the family business and they sat there on those early mornings while the meat was cooking and the smoke's going out, just talking about life. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. To be able to share that with your dad as an adult before he goes, I'm sure he cherishes that every day.
You know, I wanted to have this relationship with my father that I didn't really have before. I started to have it when I was in college. And we started to develop this adult relationship that, you know, he wasn't now a boss or an employer or a disciplinarian or a provider. He was now, you know, I was a member of the adult class, and he could share with me things from earlier in his life, things that maybe you're not going to tell your kids, but you certainly will tell, you know, them older, and maybe lessons you've learned. And I wanted to have that relationship with him. So coming back here, a big part of that was so I could spend time with him. A big part was I had come out of a very corporate and entertainment-driven world where you can lose sight of all sorts of things. And this was a very grounding sort of place for me. It's a humbling sort of place for me, because I knew what I did here for years and years and years, and there was nothing glamorous about it. And so coming back here, to save this as much for me, because I didn't want to lose all those memories. I want to have that tether to who I was. I wanted to make sure, you know, the last thing you want to do is evolve into something that you're not. And like I said, being in an entertainment world, being in a corporate world can alter you, alter your values. And this, I think, I recognize that this is more true to who I was and what I wanted to be. So coming back here was going to service all those things, but really spend time with Dad. I had 18 months with him before he just unexpectedly passed away. Nobody expected it at all. He wasn't sick. You know, he just had blockage that passed away in his sleep. But I did, the beauty of it is in 18 months that I had with him, we spent many mornings up here, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, just the two of us, finally talking, sharing thoughts and ideas and emotions, proclaiming things, stating things, helping to bring understanding to situations that there's no way I could have attained these in any other way. And because it was a very, I think, open sort of dialogue at the time in a way that it had never been before, I was able to tell him all the things that I wanted to say. I was able to ask him so many of the things that I wanted to ask him. I don't think that there was anything left important unsaid between the two of us. And it was a long time coming. I mean, you know, that's a 40-year track to kind of get to that point and to finally have some of that, bring about that peace. And that was the foundation on which the adult relationship was going to be built, right? It didn't happen, but the foundation was still built. And so when he did pass, one of the honest things I can say is I didn't have any regrets. I didn't stand by at his funeral and say, you know, there were things I wish I would have told you. I wish you would have known this. All of that was said. All of that was expressed. And I feel really good. No.
My clips kept playing. I kept that in, Yoni, so the listeners would be confused at the end. See, I told you, there's going to be super inception near the end.
So there's a, what happened there? There was just a cow noise clip that it, just got
That's right,
in?
Exactly. I have all these noises on my computer, like cow sound effects and stuff, before I learned how to do it myself. And when we were doing that episode, I was listening to a clip of Wayne, and then it kept playing and went into my iTunes and started playing cow sound effects. So I said at the time, it's a real meat man computer, because when it just goes haywire, it just starts sounding like a cow.
I think we should play Cats in the Cradle whenever he's talking about his dad and those stories.
I felt that story just really touched me. You know, coming into back into the barbecue world after leaving and finding that's your real home. That's awesome.
Well, and he's just awesome. He showed up at Snow's the other day with Billy Durney, and they're all just having a great time. They got a whole crew with them. I mean, he's a celebrity almost in the barbecue world, and it's fun to see him kind of in his element, you know, not just at some festival or whatever. He's really out there kicking ass.
And it's these stories, like the ones that Wayne just told, the ones that we heard from Bert, the ones that we heard from Andrew, the ones that we heard from Ray, the ones that we heard from Southside Market, everywhere we went, Le Barbecue. I mean, we hear all these different stories, all these different people from all these different backgrounds and places, yet they're all in the same family now.
Yeah, and some are related actually, and some are just related through meat.
So what do you say we give out a prize to our family?
Yeah, I'm ready to give something away. Let's do it.
All right. Well, before we give that prize away, keep listening. I'm going to give something to Yoni that I've been holding on to. It's been in the back of my car for a week. Go ahead and open that. I've been meaning to give this. We're right before Christmas here. I wrapped up a present for Yoni. What is it? There's a lot of wrapping paper around
it.
It's
a piece of brisket.
It's a piece of brisket. I got Yoni a piece of brisket.
Switch.
So that, yes, his style switch. What date is on that, Yoni?
I don't see a date.
I thought I wrote a date on that. It must have. So it's been a while. When did we go to style switch?
You mean the pop-up?
Yeah.
A couple days ago?
No, that was like a week and a half ago. So it's been in my car since then.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, since we were talking on some of these episodes, all these pitmasters keep yelling at me saying you can eat meat that's been sitting out if it's smoked. I thought if you wanted to, you could give it a little taste.
I'm good. I don't know what you did to it.
I didn't. Okay, good. That's exactly what I thought. Give me that shit. I'm going to throw it in the trash. Yeah. Here, wait. I'm going to throw it at the hoop here. Oh, yeah. Got it.
Nice shot.
Thank you. See, we got awesome meat tossing skills. All right. You want to pick a name out of that hat, Yoni? Go ahead and grab that hat and pick a name out of it.
Yeah, hold on.
So we had a contest a couple weeks ago. We asked the meat men to post on an Instagram photo. Recommend the show to a few friends.
All right. I'm picking a name out of this hat.
All right.
Here, hold on.
It's Matt's giant cowboy hat. All right. What do we got here?
We've got Aaron Ryan.
Aaron Ryan.
At Aaron, not Ryan.
We love meat man Aaron. So I'm glad he won.
Yeah. This guy's he's definitely a meat man. He's got a family picture that looks like it was taken at Whataburger.
He's Seasons a real meat eatings. Man.
He's a real Texan.
Yeah, look at that. It's got says it's got his him and his family in a Whataburger kind of thing that says Seasons Eatings.
So that's legit. He goes to metal shows, looks like.
Well, then he's a real meat man. So, Aaron, I know you listen to the show, so sometime this week, send us a message anywhere you can reach us, Instagram or wherever. Contact at Best Barbecue if you'd like.
Yeah.
Send us your email and your where we can ship your prize. And let us know if you'd rather have a hat or a shirt, because you can get a barbecue industry hat or you can get a Ray's t-shirt. It's up to you.
Man, he's got a Super Nintendo. What do you play? Aaron, why don't you tell us what games you're playing? We can play Super Nintendo online together.
So how do the Meat Men win prizes, Yoni?
You listen. You watch.
That's right.
You never know where we're going to give something away. This isn't some, you know, you can't set your clock to this. It's just going to be when we get stuff, we give stuff.
And a sincere message to the Meat Men. I'm so glad we've got to meet you this year.
Yeah, it's been a great year hanging out and interacting with you on all levels of social media.
I swear, I sit on my couch and I talk to people and I just tell my girlfriend about all the new people I met. And you know, and we're all coming around barbecue in this show. So we're building that Meat Man army.
And if you're building your army, whether you got a hat or stickers, send it our way. Send us a slide into that DM and we'll give away some of your stuff on the show. We're trying to connect people all over the world about Texas barbecue, about slowing down, taking time to have a conversation and enjoying yourself.
So the next time we will see all these Meat Men is 2018.
Yeah, see you then.
All right. And it's going to be a special fan appreciation episode on the first, so make sure you listen so you can hear your name.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about all our favorite people, getting 2018 started right, and kicking ass. Eat more meat.
All right. Happy holidays, everyone. Happy holidays, Matt.
Happy holidays, guys.
Thank you for everything. Thank you for getting this shebang running and setting up the studio so we can do our crazy shit in here.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, and everyone, hug your loved ones, have a good time, and Happy New Year.
And you know what to do.
Eat meat.
Eat meat.
Eat more meat. Eat more meat. Every day.
Every day. Hey, they call me the Meat Man.
Y'all to see me eat, man.
Meat is showing the hell that I can meet. I'm the Meat Man. Y'all to see me eat.
This has been a production of Glenn Cliff Media. Bye.